I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey guys, before we get cranking here, a quick note that I don't know if you guys knew this, but did you know that we have a Discord channel for all things FilmSack now? And it's popping, hopping. It's great over there. There's a spoilers channel. The server itself has a spoilers channel. There's also just sort of a general chat channel. It's a place where you can recommend films for us to watch, all sorts of stuff. So be a bigger part of the community and head on over to filmsack.com. You'll find a link right there to the Discord channel. And once you're in, you're in. So do that. Now on with the show.
Hey, look at that guy.
Oh, no way. That's a rock, honey. 3 minute breath hold and the guy comes up with a rock.
That's really, what are the odds of that? Wait till I tell the boys back at the office.
They're drug dealers, Sam. They're not missionaries.
This is FilmSack. Oh, sure.
Hello, one and all, and welcome back to episode 420, man, of FilmSack. That's right. FilmSack 420. Blaze up. Is that what they say? I don't know what they say.
They do say blaze up, yeah.
They say blaze
John
up.
Bender may have said that in Breakfast Club, too.
Blaze on, blaze in, whatever it is. Anyway, welcome to 420. It's FilmSack, and we are mining the very depths of film entertainment for all mankind. And I'm Scott Johnson, joined today by Brian, Do Not Make Out and Drive Dunaway.
Or do. Oh, hi.
Hi.
My name is Bill, and as you can see, I am a shark, and I have been drug-free for 2 days. So my story starts 6 weeks ago when I was just swimming around the Bahamas with a few of my sharky pals doing shark things, when suddenly this plane full of screaming drug lords comes barreling down into the blue. That's the name of the movie. And that's when the training kicked in. I could hear mom singing the song of our people. What do we do when we see people splashing around in the water, son? Lassie shark. Do, 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 do. Lassie shark. Get some help, Lassie. So I frantically did that just for a couple of days until Jared showed up. You know Jared. Everybody knows Jared Sixpack and his girlfriend Samantha Jigglybutt. Their PDA is off the charts, but they're good people. Or so I thought. Anywho, I escorted Jared down to the plane, but it was too late for the drug guys. Apparently, they can't breathe water. Did not know that. But I did stick around just in case I could help Jared. You know, he's a nice guy and all, but he's not the brightest. Then it happened. Jared was heading out of the blue, and I could see him dumping something back into the blue. Well, you know how it is. Sharks be curious and all. Next thing I know, bam, zoom! Druggy shark. Do-do-do-do-do-do-do. Druggy shark. Damn it, Jared. I thought we were friends.
Do you not know how the baby shark theme goes?
He's having a hard time finding the rhythm. Let him go. It's funny.
I like
the baby shark.
The baby shark. That's so not it at all.
Rehab shark. Do, 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 do.
You gotta emphasize the first syllable really long.
Like, oh, sorry.
Lassie shark, like that.
I think you're doing the. I think you're doing the phenomena.
Yeah. Oh, you're right.
Phenomena. Do 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 is what you're
doing.
I'm
glad I have my friends here with me today.
That's awesome.
Do do do.
That killed me. Also with us, Randy. I don't think Jessica Alba is actually human, Jordan.
Aloha, Scott. Brian.
Hi,
Randy.
Did I ever tell you boys about the time I ran the most successful treasure hunting operation in the Bahamas?
Nope.
True story. Most successful. And you're going to be successful too if you just follow my three rules of the blue. Number one, learn to hold your breath underwater while performing feats of strength. You can start practicing now. For example, try holding your breath until the end of this podcast. Number two, in a country that is 99% black people and you, plus the only people you know on earth are all white, go ahead and figure out now who your real secret enemies are. Take your time, maybe while you're practicing holding your breath, and figure this out. Because you're going to have to kill literally everyone except your girlfriend if you don't figure this out. Number three, learn how to operate and repair a sump pump. There's something deeply wrong with you if your livelihood depends on this one machine and you don't have one that's working, or a backup, or a box full of parts. What the hell is wrong with you, Paul Walker?
The hell.
He was old, good old Paul Walker. Hey, he was too busy working on them abs.
He's a good-looking boy. Jeez. Yeah.
Yeah, he is.
Yeah, he...
When I saw Into the Blue, I thought they were talking about his eyes.
This whole movie is like the king and queen of the prom walking around, you know, for 2 hours.
A little bit, yeah.
The runners up, too.
Yeah, they decided to be a little grimy, but they're too perfect for grime, even.
Yeah.
Also with us, and finally, Brian, the sharks just want your blood, Ibbit.
They do. Your blood. All right, Jared. Look, I know I've got your girlfriend held hostage, and I really think it's clever, this whole plan you've got to rescue her, and then while I'm distracted by retrieving my cocaine from the plane crash, you'll go and lay claim to the wreckage of the Zephyr. And I know for your plan to work, you had to destroy some of my cocaine. But cutting open my cocaine and shaking it out into the ocean? Dude, you coked up at least 15 sharks, and if they weren't aggressive enough before... Now they're totally amped up. They're opening up three new underwater nightclubs, and all they want to do is play the stock market all day long. And who knows what you've done to the local fisherman stock. What do you think happens to the tuna that ingests this stuff? It gets caught, served to tourists aboard the next Carnival cruise ship to pass through here, and the next thing you know, people are actually having a good time on one of those stupid cruises. Too far, man. Too far.
Nice. I'm glad to see me and you were on the same page of outrage. Yeah.
That's all I could think about. When the big white cloud is like all these fish swimming through it and getting super coked up.
She's like a shark lover, and he's like a lover of I was like, come on.
There's no way she'd be on board with his stupid plan.
No, never. No, it doesn't matter. Yeah, my lung came up just then.
I want to start with a really honest question. Just tell me the truth. How many people have you known in your life, including yourself, who came across a fabulous stash of drugs and then had to figure out how to profit from it?
Nobody.
I mean, how many people?
None.
Happens at least once a week around here.
Zero that I know.
Does it count if someone I know does a lot of drugs, forgets where they put them, and then finds them in a drawer and says, oh my God, there's a whole bunch of drugs in here?
No.
I'm saying in
the real world, people who traffic big amounts of drugs lose the piles of drugs all the time, and then they're discovered by your friends. Seriously, all the time. And it's like, I just want to know why I've never faced this horrible decision.
Look, you gotta have a plane, you gotta have it full of drugs, you have to have a crash, you gotta be in an area where you also happen to be scuba diving for stuff. And
by the way, what are the odds of the plane full of riches drugs would land right next to the boat full of riches gold?
The thing the guy wanted.
Yeah, very low odds. It was phenomenal. Yeah, or high odds. No, low odds, high odds. Which would you say?
What's the possibility that the two hottest people in Bahamas are going to find each other?
Yeah.
And make out like the whole movie.
Their friends are just, they've only found one person they could possibly set their friend up with. Oh, all right, dude, I know you're super good looking. I think I might have found a woman that I think is super good looking enough for you.
No one would
ever be friends with them, by the way. No way ever. You wouldn't want to be standing next to those two doing anything.
No. I mean, you look like even Scott Conn, and, you know, nice looking guy. Right. Looks dopey and dumb next to him.
Yeah.
That's the deal. Even the tall blonde drink of water girlfriend with half a thigh now, she looks like you know, garbage next to them. Like, there's something about those two. They're too good looking.
Oh,
it's not
you're talking
right.
about Ashley Scott? We've yeah. seen her in some other things.
She's fine. She's great. But don't put her next yeah. to the world's most
Jessica Alba.
Yeah, the most unrealistic human ever made. Don't put her there. I mean, Jessica Alba, I mean, all power to her. I think it's great. And she was, you know, it's not her fault she was born gorgeous. But it's not. She is not a fair comparison to anyone, ever. It's just not possible. She's an anomaly and a one-timer.
But you expect somebody that gorgeous to be with somebody that you could judge and go, nah, let me, she could do better. That's what you expect. You expect better. You to constantly be going, she could do better. But when it's like that, it's like, oh, it's too good of a match. It's sick.
Yeah, Paul Walker at this point in his career, 2005, this movie came out, is he's a hunk of man there. He's a good-looking dude.
One real quick thing about Ashley Scott. Mm. Because we saw it recently, she was married to Anthony Rulin, who was the producer of The Butterfly Effect.
Fantastic. And see, that's what you expect.
Yeah.
It's like, there's a person at this level, and then a person at this level, and that's the, you know, that's the balance of the world. That's how it's supposed to work.
This is all true. Right. So our movie is Into the Blue, 2005, Into the Blue. I always mixed it up with the one with Sam Jackson that gets eaten by the shark while he's talking.
Yeah. Oh, with the freaking laser beams.
Yeah, deep blue sea.
I get it. Used with the surfing one.
Oh, also Crush. same director, isn't it?
Blue Crush.
Yeah, same director made that. So I think it's fair that you feel that way.
Yeah, Into plus it's got more blue in it.
Yeah, some more blue. But also the kind of movies he makes, it's all about, you know, that this type. It's dudes on surfboards and good-looking tan bodies and jet skis and cut-off shorts. And
hard bodies.
Yeah.
Oh, I forgot about that series. That used to be a thing, Hard Bodies. Man.
Hard Bodies, right? Like, that was actually a movie series.
Yeah, like two or three of those. We need to watch that. And,
wow.
I would like to watch one of those teen, like,
I want to see if it was... Yeah,
Brian, wait. If it was bad to say, he wants to see one of those teen soft porn.
No. It was like soft R. Soft R. Sex romps. Yeah. Like, it was just basically the worst it ever got was peeking through a hole in the shower and seeing.
Yeah.
Exactly. But with a name like Hard Bodies, you expect full on porn, but it's always just a tease, right? 1984 was a great year, by the way. Hard Bodies.
Or we could just watch some softcore porn. That's fine too.
Yeah, why not? Let's do that for film sack.
You know, we've never done it. We're always like, let's do animation, let's do live action, let's do this genre, that genre. We've never gotten around to
what's better though? Hard Bodies or like something like the Ski Patrol movies that tease you more? Which one?
Oh, I love those Ski Patrol movies.
Up the Creek would be a good one. About the canoeing or rafting
yes
thing. Oh what was hot okay. dogs tell was me that? About tell me about hot dogs
oh yeah hot dogs
was the skiing one
okay yeah. I'd be into that yeah
my
we
gosh that movie was on HBO late night
right all of these were I think Hard Bodies is just on repeat. What's funny, I've never actually seen a Hard Bodies film.
Yeah, I haven't either. I forgot there was a series of them. I thought there was just the one, so news to me.
I remember seeing the posters up at the movie rental place all the time. Hard Bodies 2. Now we're close up on a woman's abdomen with a guy standing on it.
Yeah.
Right. Well, which is totally different than we watched this week, which was the crotch cam. It's like, how many more crotch cams can we get?
Oh, yeah. Like, basically, anytime someone had to do something, the camera just went right up their butt.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now, do you guys, where do you stand on the scene? Okay. So there's a lot of controversy about this. There's this, or at least apparently there is. I don't know. I just dug up some of it and saw some old Reddit posts and things. So apparently this was a thing for a while, but people assume because of the shot where he's grabbing Jessica Alba's butt and she turns around and looks mad, that was actually improv.
Sexual harassment?
Yeah, that he was actually doing that in the water and she was not happy about it and had nothing to do with the script, but they kept it in anyway. She apparently was not happy with the film in general because she didn't like how half naked she was all the time. All this kind of stuff. And she was also promised a bunch of body double stuff that never happened or something. Anyway, I wonder, so if that's the case, you know, we all have this shiny vision of, Paul Walker, family man, had a horrible accident and died. It's unfortunate. Early life ended, but maybe he was a bum grabber, you know?
Are you thinking Jessica Alba is now a person of interest?
Yes.
We saw her hanging around with a pair of wire cutters over by his...
Right. Oh,
I'll
man.
Tell you what, he's very young at this time, right?
Too soon.
Yeah, that's the amazing thing for me is all of these people, like, this is 15 years ago. Like, this is five or six years before she starts making money. And by the way, she regularly appears on lists of, like, the, you know, like the most wealthy, you know, self-made women, this kind of thing. She's, you know, she started a company that got a valuation of over $1 billion, this kind of thing.
Yeah.
I just can't get over how they seem so young. Like, Paul Walker, I guess, is about, I don't know, 20.
He was born in 73, and this was 2005. Quick, do the math.
Oh, no. More like 32.
Yeah, like in his early 30s. It's because he's also not real. He's such a, you know, like, man, some people, the genes, they just get them.
The real thing is Josh Brolin. Josh Brolin seems like 100 years younger.
Right. Yeah, that is so wild. Yeah.
The purple CGI really makes him look a lot younger, doesn't it?
Yeah.
I could have used a lot more Josh Brolin, by the way, in this film. A lot.
Well, you know who I could have used more of was James Frain.
Yeah,
James Frain. Yeah. Who's that?
He's Sarek's dad on Discovery. Spock's dad on Discovery, and he's in this thing for like 2 minutes.
Yeah,
and hold on. I want to explain him to anybody listening as a series of tropes. So we have the trope of the found drugs, which means you're going to fall in with the people who actually own the drugs almost immediately, or at least as soon as you realize what's going on, you're going to fall in with them.
Yeah.
And because we're in the Bahamas, those are all black people. Tyson Beckford is the most beautiful human being alive. Mm-hmm. But we can't have the ultimate bad guys be black people, right? Like, we're evolved enough that we at least wouldn't do that. So we go ahead and give Tyson Beckford a boss who's the real heavy, and that's James Frain. But we haven't really met James Frain yet. Right? So we have a white guy who's really in charge, but come to find out, no, there's a bigger white guy. And it's like, guys, are you just going to go on with this forever until we reach, like, the president of the United States?
It's like sharks, and there's another row of teeth. Oh, my God, behind there, there's another row of teeth.
I kind of like that idea. I like the idea.
Would you call it evolved to have a group of black people that are all working for a white guy?
This movie has so many racist tendencies. It's gross. It's absolutely gross how much racism is in this movie. I don't even want to get into the little things. There's so many little moments of what were they thinking?
Yeah. Mm.
Yeah, right, but Tyson Beckford makes the best of what he is given. I thought he was fantastic. Yeah,
he's awesome. His character is named Primo.
Mm. Primo, which
literally named Primo.
Yeah, yeah.
And who was his buddy? It was Primo and
Secondario.
Yeah, it was something weird like that. It was Primo, and then like his buddy. It was like,
I think it was Raul.
All I know is that the boat sheriff. The sheriff on a boat is named Roy. I love Memo. That.
One of the guy's names was Memo, because I had to put on the closed caption. It was Primo and Memo.
Oh, like, really?
Primo, Memo.
Take a Memo.
Are these common Bahama names? I don't know.
Common
then
Bahama.
They had a friend lost in the edits named Harpo, and he never spoke.
Yeah. Never said a word, which is so weird. Yeah, it's an interesting... like, it's super tropey. Like, he's the bad. Oh, no, he's the bad guy. No, wait, it's back to Josh Brolin, who we kind of didn't trust in the first place. He's the bad guy.
It's basically everyone we've met along the way. Maybe the movie is the bad guys we met along the way.
And I kind of enjoyed that. I know it's kind of lame and cheap and not well-earned or anything, but there was something about the pace of this movie. I guess I should get this out right now. I thought I was going to hate this. This is my first viewing. I was pretty sure this is just not my... genre, too many pretty people, just like I thought that was gonna rub me wrong. I actually thought this was paced really well, and I kind of had a lot of fun with it, even though it's kind of dumb. Scott Conn is a constant zit on everyone's ass. Like, pop that guy and get rid of him. Freaking Ashley Scott, Amanda is just the worst. Like,
she's the trope of like the damsel in distress that basically has to bring everything down.
Yeah.
And she's also the outsider to the group of friends.
Right.
She comes
in. So we can't ever trust her.
And then she gets drunk and you're just looking at her going, dude, you're going to cause trouble or die first. I don't know which. Instead, she got a half of her thigh removed by a shark, which was kind of cool looking.
And that didn't end well. I was like, wait, she's Amanda, what? She's dead?
Yeah.
What happened?
Yeah,
I thought she was doing good.
Yeah.
I'm going to go ahead and say it right now. I think Amanda is our chum in the bucket.
Yep.
Chum in the bucket. There you go.
There you go. New phrase, chum in the bucket. Nice job.
Yeah.
That's pretty good.
I think we went back and refilmed that and said, I think we should just kill Amanda. What do you think? Let's do it.
Right.
But I kept thinking the whole time, like, dude, you need to get rid of Scott Kahn. He is a bad influence. And I'm guessing it's not the first time in your life he's been one. Get him gone out of here. He's going to cause trouble. There's no way he's like a, he's a lawyer, but he ain't no, you know. And that's and the worst part is he sticks with him the whole time. He's there at the very end.
Yeah. That's what makes all the great tension. That's actually one of my favorite parts of this movie is that stupid bro mode of going, you know, we grew up together and we're friends and we got to stick together. And
always got your back, bro.
Bros before Jessica Alba's butt. But then he changed his mind.
Okay. All right. I have a question for you and I need to know. Yeah. Scott Kahn.
Yeah.
All right. Off camera.
James Kahn's son.
He is either the exact same guy and he's like fighting people and rolling around and picking things up off the craft services table and make a funny face with the carrots. He's either that guy or off camera. He puts on these heavy rimmed glasses and he's talking about this thing he's reading from Lord Byron. Like he's one or the other. Which is he? Yeah.
He's rebelling against his dad, James Kahn, right?
Yeah, a little bit. I mean, he's starting to look like his dad. I was watching Hawaii 5-0 the other day, kind of randomly. I can't remember what it was, a hotel. And he's got this very slicked back top hair thing going on now where he's just his dad now.
The pulled back pompadour kind of thing.
Yeah.
Can you imagine growing up with James Kahn as your dad? Like disappointing him because you scratched the car you didn't take the trash out or you yelled back.
You can never tell if he's making a joke and it's like was
right
just now. Maybe that's the reason why he plays it so big, because he's like I gotta be telegraph this joke that you know that it's a joke.
Yep, and this is dinner time. This you just hear a lot of this, like people digging at their plates and nobody's actually saying anything, you know.
Right.
So how was school today? Or no, how was work today, Dad? Like you'd never know what you're dealing with. And I feel like he's got a lot to prove to break out of that. But I mean, I think he's a perfectly cast for this role. Like for this trope, that's your guy. And couldn't have asked for somebody who is more like smarmy and jackassery, but then on the other hand, once in a while you're like, oh, I kind of feel bad for him. Okay, fine, I'll do what you know, we'll do what we have to do. Like he's good at that, whatever that is. Yeah. And he was fine. He was fine in here. And this is, by the way, they're not their first time they worked together. They were in Varsity Blues together. Yeah.
I forgot.
He played Tweeter in Varsity Blues. Whoever Tweeter
Well, you know, I live in the South. And life revolves around football.
Yeah.
And so lots of times, anytime there is a football movie, I just don't want to see it.
Yeah.
I'm just like, I don't want to see the portrayal of how they have small town football portrayal. I don't want to see it.
Yeah.
But I remember Varsity Blues. I remember eventually watching it and really liked it.
Yeah, it's all right. Actually, it probably holds up all right.
In that one, right?
Vanderbeek. Yeah. Vanderbeek's your main guy. Yeah. Then you got Paul Walker. Then you got Tweeter over there.
Wasn't somebody walking around with whipped cream on his junk or
no, that's the wrong one.
Captain America?
No. Oh no, that is Varsity Blues. It's
Chris Evans, right?
Oh shit. No, it's not. It's the girl who's got the on her boobs and her crotch.
Ah, that's it.
And it's what's her name from Heroes? And I'm thinking of the wrong movie.
Allie Larder.
Yeah, Allie Larder. What is the movie though? I think I'm not thinking of the right movie. Allie Larder. Hold on. We're looking it up because now it's annoying.
Rudy? Was she in Rudy?
No, it wasn't Rudy.
Movie with whipped cream junk.
Okay, but Chris Evans with whipped cream on his junk is not another teen movie.
Varsity Blues.
Maybe that's what I'm thinking.
You're right. Varsity Blues. It is Varsity Blues. She's just a very small role in that. She shows up with whipped cream and cherries on her.
There it is. I typed in movie with whipped cream. Varsity Blues came
Wow, 9.5 weeks didn't come up in the list.
Weird,
right?
New generation. You got to move on.
Yeah.
So here's some other trivia. This, like I said, the second time Paul Walker and Scott Kahn working together there. It also is the second time that Jessica Alba and Ashley Scott worked together. First time was on that Fox series that made her famous, Dark Angel. They did some stuff on there.
Oh, I enjoyed that series.
I enjoyed it.
Then you also got Jessica Alba and Josh Brolin have both appeared in Marvel movies, although Jessica Alba was a Fox producer.
MCU versus exactly.
Who did Josh Brolin play again?
I guess they were in the same. I guess they were in the Fox Marvel universe because he also played Cable.
Oh, Deadpool. Or I mean a Cable, yeah.
Yeah, right. Cable.
I forgot about his role in that.
And then they also worked together in Sin City, A Dame to Kill For, which I forgot Josh Brolin was in, but whatever. Yeah.
Wow, we're forgetting everything.
All I know is every time he opened his mouth, I was just like, Thanos.
I am inevitable.
Yeah, I just kept hearing it. Can I just say for the record, we haven't really reviewed Endgame as a show or anything, but I just want to say that I think Josh Brolin, in the end, I wasn't sure at first, turned out to be the absolute smartest, best casting for Thanos they could have ever done.
Yeah, for sure.
Absolutely.
To me, he is Thanos now and always
will be. I was going to bring this up at the end of the show after we're done talking about In the Blue, but let's talk about it right now. Randy, you've previously said that Infinity War is the worst Marvel movie.
Oh, right.
No, I wouldn't say worst. It's like bottom three
Okay. for me. I thought you said worst. Could have sworn you said worst.
Now that Endgame is out, and you've seen it presumably,
Do you feel like
the pair of them make a much better film than Infinity War on its own?
If I could like edit them together and like cut out most of Infinity War, you know, it's kind of like when
Thanos, you can
50% of it.
You know, when people edit together the first three Star Wars prequels and they lose almost all of the Phantom Menace.
Right.
Like I could,
yeah, but
you know, like that
aren't as disconnected as those first three Star Wars movies. This is more like Kill Bill parts one and two.
Yeah. A little bit.
I mean, I agree. It's just Infinity War, just like because of this one thing where, you know that they happen to be losing all of the people that are going to now survive Endgame. You know what I'm saying? Like, the whole like there it's too self-aware. I knew it the whole time, like the all through Endgame I'm thinking, okay, so who's gonna come back at the end here and save the day? Okay, so I know who's gonna survive because they're gonna get to make more movies, right? So we don't need Star-Lord in Endgame much, because I know there's going to be a Guardian of the Galaxy 3. So I don't need him to do much in Endgame. That'll be fine. And it's like that knowledge is toxic. That, you know, like thinking like that while you're watching a movie is bad. And so that really happened to me with Infinity War. Whereas with Endgame, it was such a ripping yarn. Like there were so many things that I was just like taken by, swept away with, you know, like, it didn't really affect my feelings about Infinity War. Like, I guess it could have dragged it up a little bit, because I feel very strongly that you should watch Infinity War, and you know, and then Endgame. Like, you shouldn't come along and you're like, I'm gonna watch Black Panther, Captain Marvel, and Endgame. Like, well, I mean, you could do that, but you should also watch Infinity War.
No, you need to watch them. You need to watch them as a pair now that they're both out. But I mean, you know, I know you're saying, well, we know we're going to get more Guardians of the Galaxy, so we know they all have to survive. But they survive, but with changes, right? I mean, you know, we don't. I don't want to be too spoilery.
Right? There's a character who gets replaced by themselves,
right?
Right? Like, and it is different. I get that. Yeah, but I'm just saying, like,
you know, even a character that we see die at the beginning of Infinity War is now sort of back in the MCU, but doesn't have any of that character development that we saw in later movies, because a version of them from earlier on is now wandering. Yes.
Are we talking about Groot?
although Groot relates to Into the Blue, because Groot is voiced by Vin Diesel, which is the worst stunt casting that has ever been done.
No,
there is no need to spend Vin Diesel money.
No, I disagree
on this character.
Here's why. He is known for his good vocal stuff. He was the Iron Giant and was fantastic in the Iron Giant.
Oh, I agree. Yes.
He's good. There's nothing wrong. But dude, they got Marvel money coming out of their a-holes. They can spend whatever money they need.
I'm just saying, the minute we get to hearing his voice, he's dead, and it's replaced by this amped, changed, high-pitched thing for the rest of every appearance of Groot. And it's like, that is, why are we still giving Vin Diesel money for this?
Actually,
and,
you know what?
Crediting him.
Okay, I'm gonna give you some credit on that, because I think that what should have happened and didn't happen, and that this isn't a spoiler, I don't think, but he was rapidly evolving from baby Groot to teenage Groot. I think he ought to be full Groot by now.
I know.
Right, right.
Yeah. I mean, there's no, we don't have any basis for how long it takes a walking tree. Yeah. And it, so sure, yeah.
The most important thing I want to make sure and talk about, though, is this thing I keep bringing up in every episode, which is the difference between thinking something is good and thinking something is great does not make the good thing bad.
Right.
And like we all ranked our MCU films, and like I say, I think Infinity War for me came out third to last. Mm-hmm. That doesn't mean it's bad to me. That means I didn't like it as much as, you know, 18 other movies, but they're movies that I freaking love.
Yeah.
You know,
I remember some pretty harsh words about Infinity War. Not in relation to other MCU films, but compared to other films.
I'm saying I'm going to cop to liking The Phantom Menace. I would rather, if you're going to show me a mashup of movies, I would rather it only have a couple of minutes from The Phantom Menace. But that doesn't mean I hate the movie. Mm-hmm. I'm just saying, like, among these Star Wars movies that I love, it's the one I love the least. Mm-hmm. I'm not, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, no, I get it. It's a relative list. Mm-hmm. I totally get that. Mm-hmm. Same the way, it's the way I feel about Ultron. I think Ultron's the weakest of all the MCU movies, but I'd still take it over like 70% of movies. Like if you're saying, hey, we're going to sit down and watch, you know, a group of things that are out right now, would you rather watch that or Ultron? I'd go, well, probably Ultron. But, you know, in the context of the MCU films, it's just not, you know, it's just down there for me.
Yeah.
So I get it. That totally makes sense. I do remember you being a little harsher on it. So I think you've come around because you saw it and you were filled with the love and hope of the MCU. It all came mm-hmm. back to you. It was like, we're home. Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
Like I'll grant, Endgame made me feel a lot better about like freaking Doctor Strange, for instance.
Yeah.
Because the interactions mainly with Tilda Swinton mm-hmm. in Endgame mm-hmm. kind of got me like, I got to watch Doctor Strange again. Yeah. I have to revisit that.
It made me want to too. That was weird. That whole scene, I was like, oh, I should watch Doctor Strange again. So good. Yeah.
So that, you know, that's a really great thing. Like they've done something good with these movies. Yeah.
She had a great, that was a great TED talk she gave in the middle of that movie. A good TED talk.
But to herself. She gave a TED talk to herself.
Yeah, to herself.
Talking herself into doing something.
In a vague ghost.
Boy. And you see it. And you see it in IMAX, and man, all those scars on her head really show up.
Really? Oh my gosh, that's right. Because she's all banged up. That's true.
I realize we don't need to talk about End of the Blue. The thing, the thing about it is, I over on TVTropes.org, End of the Blue has almost no tropes listed, and I can't figure it out because it's a bundle of tropes. There's so many,
right?
And it's like. It makes you realize, oh, people just don't watch this movie.
Yeah.
It's just not a popular movie at all.
No, it's a kind of a blip in the thing. I mean, I think I'd known about it or heard about it, but only on the merits of like, it's underwater and she's pretty. I mean, that was kind of it.
Yeah.
That's all I knew. And after watching it, I actually think it's okay. Like, I think it's fine.
It's all right.
It's not great. It's not like I'm going to go watch this again or anything, but I don't know. I like... You know what? In the
end, it's an okay ride.
It's a fine ride. I like the fight underwater. I think it's, you know, ridiculous to think that any of these people can hold their breath that long.
That was a big complaint I had over the whole thing.
Yeah. Like,
so they pointed it out.
They do.
Well, they pointed out that he's got, Mr. 3-minute, we heard at the top of the show, Mr. 3-minute breathing breath hold.
Yeah.
And it's almost like we're supposed to say, oh, okay, 3 minutes. All right, cool. Move on.
But you know, there is a scene late in this movie where the bad guys all have diving gear and the good guys are doing free diving.
Mm-hmm.
And the good guys are down fighting in a plane for 15 minutes.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous. Mm-hmm. Like, how the hell?
There's
like
so much oxygen down there. It's just ridiculous.
Scott,
I mean,
Conn
at one point in time, they're actually trading oxygen with the sharks.
Because you had
I was just gonna say Scott Conn dives down, free dives, pretends to be dead, and then gets in a fight. Pretending to be dead thing, like, how long did he have to sit there completely still underwater holding his breath and then fight? Give me a break. Crazy.
Was a lot of that in this movie.
And I've never seen such poor calculations of how much oxygen you have left, because there was so many times they're like, oh, we're almost out of oxygen.
Yeah.
Everybody runs out. By the way, Paul Walker saves everyone's life in this movie at one time or another. but he ends up killing most everybody. But at one time or another, the people who live were saved. Their lives were saved by him. He drags them up from drowning.
Yeah, no, totally does. And my thing was, whenever the tanks would run out, they'd panic. And I thought, you got like another 10 minutes, because everywhere else in this movie where you don't have a tank, you just hold that breath. So just hold the last breath of the tank and you're good for 10 minutes. Like, whatever your rules are, freaking live by them. And they kept sort of changing
cheating the rules on that
this is my TED talk. Listen, if you're making a movie about diving, about being underwater, as an audience, you have me. You have me on the edge of my seat. I'm also holding my breath. I'm nervous.
Mm-hmm. Totally.
The whole time people are underwater. If you make them superhuman, I stop being nervous.
Yeah.
I stop caring. Being underwater no longer makes me feel anything in this movie by the end of it. And too bad.
Yeah.
It's too bad that they didn't do things like have them surface and then dive back down to fight or something. Like something to rebuild that.
At some point, you're right, because at some point, it flashed in my mind. I'm like, wait a minute, is Jessica Alba like developing superhuman, you know, shark communication language? Is she like turning into Aqua Lady or something?
Right.
Because she seems to be communicating with the sharks. Shark, come here.
Yep.
Bite this person.
Yep.
Them here.
Also, don't take flip flops to your kidnapping. Bad idea.
No, never.
They start the film at Atlantis. And I've been there, and I love that.
Oh,
place.
Really?
I think
I'd love to go there sometime. It looks amazing.
I recommend it, although it's going to soak you. Like you need to save up 3 vacations worth of vacation money, and then go spend it on way super credible overpriced food. But Atlantis is awesome. But it made me. I wish they hadn't done that, because they start with some shots of her in a prepared shark tank. Right? She's in a habitat. Right. Mm-hmm. And they're all over that property, by the way, these habitat from the balcony of your room.
Mm-hmm.
And because of that, they don't make a distinction with how the ocean looks, the blue. Right. And so it lost all kinds of luster, because every time you see them in the water with lots of fish, you realize it looks just like they're in an aquarium. And they are. The actors are physically in an aquarium somewhere. Right. And it's just like, I don't understand how they missed this little thing, but I was totally out of it. Every time I saw them, I'm like, oh, they're in Oklahoma City, or they're at the freaking Mandalay Bay or something.
There's
like
no danger, because they could just go, you know, 2 feet up and they've got air and blah, 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 right?
Yeah.
Yeah, the movie's a jumble of contradictions in that regard, I feel like. There was always something like that going contrary to what they were saying, and they would just break the rule.
Weird cold opening too, with the plane crash.
Yeah.
With the
I expected
plane crash.
To see Tom Hanks in there going and then,
exactly what I was thinking. I was thinking, where's Tom Hanks at? Watch out, Tom Hanks!
There's a lot of bouncing around. Like the very beginning is so much bouncing around in a plane. Yeah. I can't imagine the PTSD that Scott was probably going. Not PTSD, but the fear that Scott was probably going.
Oh, hated it, especially the initial jumping around. Like, I flew out of the early edge of a typhoon in Hong Kong. It was the last flight out of Hong Kong. Probably talked about it before, but it was like that. And it was the biggest. What's the biggest plane? It's like a Boeing 7, whatever it is. Giant 3-decker plane where you got like 400 people on there, and that thing was moving like it was made out of somebody's paper plane. It was ridiculous. So seeing that again was like, ugh. But the thing that freaked me out, grossed me out the most easily, are these people swimming down to this plane going, oh, what's this about? And they're checking the plane out, and there's dead bodies in there. So y'all are just swimming around with dead particles. Lots of, I know the whole ocean is that. Like at the end of the day, there's particles of every dead thing in there. But when you're that close to decaying Rico in the front seat,
really
about that.
I picked out Josh Brolin licking his fingers after touching sweaty Jessica Alba as the thing that grossed you out, but I guess I missed it this week.
Well, that's fair too, I guess.
Just licking his fingers without even touching sweaty Jessica Alba.
I couldn't tell. I was like, why is he licking his fingers?
Yeah.
Josh Brolin's beard was unnaturally brown. I don't know what was in that thing, but it was unnatural.
Well, this would have put him, he's like a year older than me or something.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
By the way, can I have a trope alert real quick?
Yeah. Hold on. Beep, beep.
Every action film has a car chase scene. Mm-hmm. I don't care if your action film takes place on the bottom of the ocean.
Right.
You have a car chase scene. This one, actually, I thought was pretty good. Like, they really got across how the Bahamas is weird with all these super narrow streets and white walls everywhere.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I liked it.
Anyone like that?
Yeah, I liked it.
I've never been to Bahamas, but I like that. I like the confinement of it. I like that.
Yeah, I've never been either, but I don't know. Like I was saying, I was telling this to somebody the other day. My like lofty sort of dreams of where I'd want to live the rest of my life are
retirement kind of thing.
Yeah, they're two extremes. I either want to be in the penthouse of a high rise with like a, you know, loft apartment, brick walls, you know, some major city kind of thing where I'm just in the city, or I want to be way out in the nowhere and the Bahamas and having your own boat and digging around for shit sounds pretty good, you know?
Right.
Can't complain.
Yeah. Like it's not, the character Sam was right. Like there's more than, you know, the money isn't what matters. Although this movie had to make sure that they found all the gold. Like, come on, guys. I would have preferred also, them just enjoying themselves and not finding the gold. That annoyed me.
I felt the payoff of the cheddar. I liked having the cheese. That was good. Yeah. But
then Scott Kahn's involved, and you got to give him half, and he's a dumbass. He's going to spend all in Vegas.
Yeah, but at least we got rid of Amanda, so I mean, we don't have to work cut her out anymore.
He gets a third now, doesn't he?
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, that's true. He only gets a third.
That's right. That's how that works, buddy.
I would give him a freaking 20th. Like, right. That would be the deal has changed, you horrible human being.
Yeah. Whatever gold you can carry in your pockets and swim away with, that's what you can have, you jerk.
Yeah. And that, by the way, my city extreme, like, it'd be fun to live in, like, the top floor of some casino in Vegas and just live in there.
Now you're speaking my language.
Yeah, now I'm talking your language. We can have sleepovers.
I always imagine you in a city like Hong Kong or San Francisco or something with a little more, like, culture.
Yeah, a thick art scene, although, you know, Vegas has their thing. But I mean, the reason I even got to thinking about this, we were downtown last week just here in Salt Lake City, which is a, you know, small city, but has a lot of the trappings that a city would have. And they have this place, I found out some New York developer moved there and turned what used to be just a storefront and some sort of upper floor for storage, you know, the kind of old, you know, like on the streets of a city in the metropolitan area. He gutted that thing, kept the storefront because the city made him, because it's in a commercial area. Mm-hmm. And then leased that to somebody to do whatever they wanted. But the entire upper floor and the back end of this thing had completely redone into a home that just sold for like $2.8 million or something. And I got to see pictures of it inside and walk around the outside. And it is so freaking rad. It is so everything I would ever want. To just be there, live there, and die there. And it's just completely out of anyone's hands to be able to do it, obviously, for the money. But the embarrassing thing is when he bought it, when it was all beat up, he bought the whole thing for like $300,000, like in 08, right after the crash. And so it was super affordable by his standards anyway, New York standards. And now that thing's, you know, that's probably a sell for $3 something. Next time it sells. But anyway, sorry. That's what I got me thinking about, because I just thought, oh, now this is the one extreme I'm ready to embrace. Yeah. And then the other one is way out in some farm somewhere where nobody can get me.
Yeah, but, you know, nobody can get me.
The complete lack of an explanation of how they afford to live this life. Like, even the trailer. Like, how do you afford where you've parked that trailer? Like, this kind of thing is just, I don't know. It bugs me. It sticks in my craw the whole movie. Like, how are they here?
Well,
I imagine that it's all tourism money for both of their characters.
Why isn't the solution to all of their problems? As soon as things go wrong, the solution should be, okay, guys, let's go to Florida. Like, we're done.
Attractive people get shit free all the time. That's what happened. All free because they're attractive.
Maybe Paul Walker was given handies. Little free handy, or no, sure. Dollar, no, dollar
well, apparently
50 handies.
Jessica Alba was not the most, at least not the most faithful person, because, man, she was like when Brolin pulled up in his big boy boat while they were bouncing around in the boat hull.
Yeah.
She was all like staring at him, licking her lips. Mm-hmm. I was like, ah.
She seemed to know everybody, but she also had a job, and I respect that. She went to the thing, and the kids would watch her do the animal stuff. That's cool. You know, I respect
all the
8-year-olds
wrong. All the 16-year-olds boys who were there.
Oh yeah, no, that's a boner day out is what that is for those boys.
Right.
Boner's day out. I don't know.
Yeah, Mom, we're looking at the sharks.
Boys. Boys are gonna be boys.
Shark's so smooth.
Yeah, very smooth shark. Does she do anything now? Like, is there stuff she's in lately where I'm like, oh yeah, I haven't seen Jessica Alba in a while.
Some sort of Netflix series or something.
Anything. Like, I feel like she just kind of disappeared.
She was in this commercial that just celebrated the fact that she's a billionaire.
Yeah.
And it was for water? Bottled water? I don't remember what the commercial was
super
for.
Super smart. Super smart person. Yeah. Made really good choices, with their money. So,
yeah.
I mean,
well, and she hasn't necessarily stopped. She only had one movie last year. She was in some TV series called No Activity, but then this year she's in something called LA's Finest.
Some regular procedural drama. Yeah. An offshoot of the Bad Boys film franchise.
Oh, wow. Really?
What?
I'm in. Count me in.
Is it Jake Busey? What?
Yes. I'm all in.
Sign me up.
All right, this other
Ernie Hudson.
She's in some new movie called Killers Anonymous. A support group of killers is held regularly. The participants sit in a circle of trust and share their transgressions. This sounds pretty good. Gary Oldman, Jessica Alba, Tommy Flanagan. I like him.
Oh yeah. Okay, so this thing, by the way, this LA's Finest just started 5 days ago. The first three episodes aired. I can't even tell where. What is this showing on? Spectrum.
Oh.
No, is that one of those
it's a weird channel. Yeah, cable provider, Spectrum Originals banner of exclusive programming. Oh, so no one's ever going to see this.
Yeah, this got a decent cast. Jessica Alba, does, Gabrielle Union's cool. I like her.
It's not on Sophie Hulu. Reynolds. And I mean, it's not on Hulu Live TV. That's too bad.
I don't even know what Spectrum is. Is it a
Spectrum cable?
They're a cable provider.
It's a Spectrum cable, yeah.
So this would be like Comcast having an original. Same idea.
Right. Right.
Which I think they
That's exactly what it is. It's like they're right. Oh, that's a bummer.
That's too bad.
They need to put it somewhere where people can see it.
The reviews per episode are strong. I mean, I don't know how many people have seen these, but this episode called Con Air does not feature Nick Cage, by the way, I should mention.
Oh.
Says, let's see, the reviews are 7.4 out of 10 is pretty good. Hmm. I mean, I don't know. I feel like no one's going to see it, though, or not enough people see it.
Jerry Bruckheimer money, apparently, producing this thing.
Bruckheimer
money.
It's
got everything going for it, except for its viewing location.
its viewing location is apparently the Pirate Bay plus U-Torn.
I was going to say, there'll be ways to get it, but it's just getting the word out. Like, this is like Loudermilk, which is a fantastic comedy on, I can't even remember the name of the damn network. It's some AT&T network thing or something, which is like super hard to get. Not all the basic cable people have it, but Loudermilk's amazing and deserves to be seen, but hardly anyone's ever going to see it until it streams. It's unfortunate. Right. Everybody wants their own piece of this pie right now. And it's getting weird. Like, I still think Stars is too subjugated, you know, like
especially in a time when if you subscribe to HBO, you have more great TV than you can watch. There aren't enough hours in the day.
Yeah.
Like there's your subscription. And by the way, guys, everybody's all rabble-rousing about Game of Thrones. Forget Game of Thrones for a minute. For you, personally, what's your favorite show on HBO?
Barry.
Barry, yeah.
It's
Brian Dunaway.
Easy answer, Barry.
Wait, did you just say what's my favorite show on HBO?
Yeah.
Yes. There's a bunch to choose from, and surely you've seen one.
Game of Thrones? Is this a trick question? Am I supposed to pick something other than Game of Thrones? Oh, then was it Big Little Liars? What is it? Big Fat Liars. Little Big Lies. Yeah.
I heard that was good. I never saw it. So
Reese Witherspoon is fantastic.
If you haven't seen Sharp Objects, that needs to be on your list.
Oh, that's okay. The name. The other day I was digging around and I was saying to Kim, Brian likes the show on here and I can't remember the name of it. We never could remember, so we didn't look.
Yeah, Amy Adams, it's just absolutely so well done. And as an Amy Adams character, you'll never see again. Like a character that is so un-Amy Adams. It's really, really good.
All right.
Right. Sharp. I'm interested in that new Chernobyl, and I almost, I catch every episode of Last Week Tonight with John Oliver. So.
All right. Good choice.
Yeah, these are all good choices. By the way, Chernobyl, only two episodes in and already utterly fantastic. It's a mini series only, so it's short, and it will be.
Yeah, that's my problem with it, because I like everything about it, and I'm like, wow, this is going to be five episodes and done, and I'm like, that's too bad.
Yeah.
Because like this is a mini series that should have been a series, and we should have gotten to know all of the different people better, so that when they like we're seeing different threads and when they intersect, we have some idea of what's, you know, who they are.
I agree. I also see the value though of saying, hey, it's six episodes about a historical event and this is our one time to tell it. Like I can see the value in doing a mini series, and so I don't fault it for that.
You can really tell in their podcast that the guy who wrote and created and directed the show was not given a lot to work with from HBO. Like this is an experiment, not a you know, like if somebody else had come along and been like, I have all the money in the world, this I think it would have been bigger.
Maybe, but what they've done with what they've done is incredible. It is one of the most believable looking, like, not in terms of setting and what the devastation is. There's nothing cheese ball about it. There's nothing fake about it. It's incredibly well done. You really feel like you're in Chernobyl.
They literally never filmed in Chernobyl, but you feel like you are in Pripyat, Ukraine the entire time.
Yeah. It's real good. People should see it. I mean, they do film in Chernobyl sometimes. I just watched Our Planet, and a whole bunch of people went there and filmed a bunch of stuff. And also,
this show, HBO's Chernobyl.
Oh, I see what you mean.
Was not filmed on site, and you never get the feeling that they're anywhere else.
Oh no, absolutely. And the weird Soviet era yellow hue to everything. It's unbelievable. You just have to see it. It's great. Cannot say enough about it.
I also want to tell everybody to watch Gentleman Jack. It's it's like Chernobyl. It's just started and it's only a couple of episodes in, so you gotta wait for another one for a week. But it's so funny.
Isn't that some kind of thing? Like it's a period piece where some lady plays a dude and then makes out with people or whatever.
Lady looks like a dude.
That's pretty good. All right, one thing we haven't said enough about, I think, is Sarek in this. Now he's going to be our one and only Star Trek connection today. Not nearly used enough. That guy is great. If you've seen him in other stuff, you'll know who we're talking about. In particular, this role on Star Trek Discovery is fantastic. He's the perfect Sarek. But he's also really good in things like The Tudors and a ton of like British things. He's a great actor. And I don't know that maybe
he's a hard person to read as far as like age and stuff. He's actually 51. He's older than us.
Yeah.
But he can play so many different ages. I think he was in we said True Blood. He was also in that the Gotham TV series.
Yeah, kind of all over the place, this guy.
Really is
kind of everywhere, and deservedly so. He's super good. One of those character actors, one day someone will go, oh, I love that guy, he's in everything. He's one of those guys.
And he needs to, if you've got him as a villain, you need to keep him alive and use him as your villain throughout the whole film. Kill him at the end.
Ham him up. Yeah. Spend more time with that guy. He's great.
I love him in Star Trek Game of Thrones, and I didn't the first time we see him as Sarek, I'm like, no, that's not Sarek. I'm not going to take it. Mm-hmm. And then like as time goes by and people play the Game of Thrones or they die, they win or they die, and he's still in the show and he keeps coming back, I'm like, okay, all right. I like this guy. Every time I see him, I like him a little more.
Yeah. No, he's great. Could do a lot to, you could do a lot worse than that guy. I do have a favorite scene, and I couldn't capture it with audio, so I'm not going to play it today. But when the helper guy is distracting the bad guy at the boat while stuff's going on.
With the big fish
going, look at the big fish.
Spear, we need to call it a fish gun.
Yeah, the fish gun. And he fires that into his leg. And then when he pulls out of there, it pulls his feet out from under him. And he whacks his head so hard on the deck of the boat that they went overboard. That's a pun unintended. They went overboard to make sure that there was this really loud Foley job on the head bounce that is just resonating still with me. And I laughed out loud because I thought that was so funny. And it was kind of violent, but it was very funny.
I was laughing through that whole series of events because, secondly, the other guy that was on the boat was getting his ass handed to him by Jessica Alba, yet he kept chasing her. I'm like, stop chasing her. She's kicking your trash, man. Just run. Yeah. Run. Yeah. Let her go.
Yep. Let her go.
I don't know why she was even running. Yeah.
Yeah. Also, don't wear flip flops to a kidnapping. Well, bad idea. Although I guess it did save her foot when the one guy swung the giant pick at it.
Right. Mm-hmm. And just caught the flip flop, pinned it to the deck. Why That's the guy, by the way, that grabbed Jessica Alba's shirt and pulled it open.
Oh, right. There was a brief nipple shot. Brian was right. I thought he was kidding, and I went and watched it, and I went, oh, no, there it is. There's the one he was talking about.
Exactly.
Yeah, nip slip is what they like to call it in the business.
He's probably not working anymore.
No. Got in trouble for that.
It felt like that guy was specifically reaching for that part
totally.
Of that brawl.
Absolutely.
Right. This is why I would hate to be Jessica Alba in a movie. I would never trust anyone else's intentions. Right. Just like everyone's a douchebag and you're the prettiest person on the planet. And we're, you know, I guess maybe, you know what? In her life, it's probably very easy to separate the people she trusts from those she doesn't, because she just knows right off the bat. Are you here for me and my looks, or are you here for, you know?
But you know, the director is like, all right, Jessica, here's Frank. He's going to be the stuntman who's going to be doing the fight scene with you. Hey.
Yeah, dude. Nope. Yeah, I'm out. I don't want to do that guy. Hey, Jessica, pull your swim bottom there up a little higher so it's just completely up your butt. Okay, there
can
you
I
go.
Wear a wetsuit for this fight? Is there any chance there's a wetsuit I can grab on this ship that I can...
Like with a mask and everything?
I just need to get this camera in between your ankles just for a minute. Okay, go ahead. Oh,
there is just kind of that creepy kind of thing going on, which I don't know. But I'm happy to hear how awesome she is. You know, has, like Randy's talking about, her cool business and all that. Yep. Not that she needs any help, but you know, we live in a time where dudes are gross.
Hey, she does need some help, man. Let me tell you, Hollywood, you know, has chewed up plenty of pretty women and young kids along the way. So, I mean, it takes a strong group of people around you, protecting you.
Yeah, and I feel like she's got that. I base this on nothing because I don't know, but I've built a really good story around it, and I'm going to stick with it.
Right.
Anyway, let's do clips. Clips? Clips.
Yeah.
Clips.
Yeah.
All right. I got some. Clips. How about, I didn't do a ton because honestly the dialogue's not that interesting, but it's
most of us. Blah, blah,
blah, blah, yeah, it's a lot of underwater stuff, sure. But here's some. Here's a guy in the early part. He's just a dude and not really in the movie, but here he is.
Hey, if I wanted that kind of lip, I'd drop my fly. Let's go.
Oh yeah, and then he threw him in, pushed him in. That was cool. I am never gonna. Let me just tell you something. I can promise you this right now, right here on Film Sack. Someone mark the date and time. I will never have an opportunity where I will say to anyone ever, in living or dead, if I wanted that kind of lip, I would have dropped my fly. It'll never happen.
Right.
I'm just trying to think of the top 10 things I would say, and that's not it. I would never say it.
Yeah.
Ugh.
I can't stand the joke of any ever pushing someone into the water. Like if we are outside the water, I don't care if we're both in swimsuits only. Yeah. I will not push you into the water. There's something about that is so freaking offensive to me. And I don't know. I don't know why.
I'm with you. I don't like it either. I feel like it should be a principle that just stands. Like, don't push people in the water regardless of... It's the most like... Even if it's your best friend and you're teasing him, I don't know. It seems like the worst. Why does that seem so bad?
Nowadays, whenever I go into the ocean, I, as I'm walking in, I am furiously checking pockets and patting myself down.
Right. Like, touching, you sure you don't have a smartphone or a...
Yeah. And it's like that fear, even though I know I just put the stuff where it got, like I just locked that stuff in the car. Mm-hmm. I just did that. Yeah. Even though I'm, as I'm walking in the ocean, I'm terrified. So that would be like me pushing myself into the water if I had the phone in my pocket still, right? Like mm-hmm. that kind of terror, like it quadruples when I imagine someone else
right.
forcing me into the water. Wow.
It's kind of like a nut shot, right? I mean, it's just dirty.
Yeah.
It's dirty.
It is nut shots are dirty. And also yeah. Scott Kahn, when you pick someone up at the airport, you don't get to tackle your friend and beat him up.
Right. Right.
Just say hi and hug and be not what I'm getting old. That's what it is.
I couldn't see anything in that scene because the cuts and the filming were terrible because they had so many extras walking in the background, but they all were in focus. So I kept seeing the same people walking exiting the plane like 20 times. I'm like, there's that lady again.
Oh, I didn't notice. I'm sad I missed that actually. All right, here's Thanos. He says words.
Oh, you mean the one with the dishes? I only hunt for stuff that comes in gold and silver. You know that.
I am inevitable, he'll say.
He's
just
love that voice.
And she's wearing a gold bikini.
Yeah. His voice, as far as I'm concerned, because of Thanos, is now just so iconic. It's so
yeah,
good.
It's all you can hear now is Thanos, yeah.
But it does make me want to go watch, like, No Country for Old Men again or something. I'm in the mood for more Josh Brolin as a result of this movie. I think he's great. All right. Or Sicario. He's great in Sicario.
Yeah, Sicario.
Oh, I forgot about Sicario. Yeah. I still have to see the sequel.
Yeah. And I heard that was all right.
It wasn't great.
It
wasn't the same director, right? So,
no.
I mean,
Denise Villeneuve was off doing, he was making that Blade Runner thing, which was awesome.
Which was great. I loved
it. And he's now doing, he's in neck deep in doing Dune, which I'm so excited
can't wait.
A proper Dune from that guy. Oh.
I hope we can get some competent writers for the Dune.
Would you like to sign my 500-person signature list? My gosh,
I actually never came across that joke the last few days because there have been so many renditions of Dune that I don't think anybody really cares if it's not like perfect. You know,
All it has to do is be better than the Dino De Laurentiis. What was it? The Sting one, basically.
Yeah.
Who
directed? Wait, who directed that? What's my brain? My brain's broken.
It wasn't Dino De Laurentiis.
No, he produced it, but it was. What's wrong with us? The guy who made the Lawnmower movie and the Eraserhead and the Twin Peaks.
Lynch. David Lynch.
David Lynch. Jeez. Yeah, no, it's. I don't think it has to work very hard to be better than that. So it's a nice low bar they have to get over. But I also think Villeneuve, however you say his name. Is like one of the most intriguing, interesting filmmakers working and has, if anyone can pull this off, he can freaking do it. So I'm stoked about it. And they're casting the hell out of that thing. Oh, anyway, I think we're all in that movie. It turns out everyone's in it. Yeah. Here's something about missionaries. Oh, I think it's just a longer clip than of what I played earlier in the show. Here you go.
They're drug dealers, Sam. They're not missionaries flying care packages to starving kids in Africa. Okay? Don't worry about them. Their girlfriends have new pimps before the milk in the refrigerator goes bad. It's fine.
Oh, that's a thing I'll never say. They'll have new pimps before the milk goes bad in the refrigerator.
Right.
What a weird thing to say.
Why are the two related?
Yeah. Also, where were they? Was that in the boat? That small pool with a little bar in the middle? Or were they somewhere? Where were they?
I don't know. That was really nice, wherever it was. It looked like it was a hotel.
It was back at the Primo's compound that they inherited.
Oh, that's
right. Yeah, and the boat. Right.
Yeah, once they establish that mansion on the water as they can just use it however they want, they keep coming back to it for all of their procedure.
That was so cool with a little round table in the middle. You could be like sitting partially underwater, having a snack or something.
Yeah. Like they had these in, they were all over the place when I was down in Mexico. Every resort we stayed in had these, you know, like bars in the middle of the pools and people were always drinking at them and eating at them. And I kept thinking, man, you're going to drop half your freaking.
I was about to say, what do you want to do in the water? Let's eat.
You're going to drop a Reuben in there and end up with a floater for the next 6 weeks.
I still have never done a like a swim up blackjack table in Vegas. They have them at a few different places. I've always wanted to, and I still haven't.
Oh,
still
you should do that. Do that. When you go on your birthday trip, you should do that.
I should, except we're not staying at a place that has it. Mandalay doesn't have it. We're staying Mandalay, so.
Mandalay's nice, though.
It is nice. Everything else about it is perfect.
Yeah.
For what I want.
Everything else you want is right there. All right. Here's one about, I wrote, she's not a great actor. I did mean to say this about Jessica Alba. For all of her qualities, I don't think she's a very good actor. She's kind of okay. She's okay. She gets the job done. But this dialogue's pretty bad. Here you go.
These aren't like those little shipwrecks you have at the bottom of a fish tank. I mean, it could be spread all over the ocean floor.
I feel like I could do this job.
I mean,
she has a very specific role she's very good at.
Yeah.
And it's usually more serious.
Yeah.
And a little irritated.
Yeah.
And I'll have to watch that LA's Finest if I can find it and see if she's got any better.
She plays irritated very well. I'm irritated with everybody.
Actually, her irritation in this was better. You're right. She was good at being irritated later in the movie.
I hate Scott Conn.
Yeah. Scott Conn's the worst. The long con.
Not the character, the actor.
Well, and the character.
And the character.
And the character.
The actor and all the characters he plays. Yeah.
Right.
I don't know what this is. Oh, this is Paul Walker rambling in a hardcore way. This is pretty great. It's almost like rap. Here you go.
This guy was crazy. He ran the Everglades. He and his crew, they were gnarly. They ate alligators, drank lead, pissed musket balls, gave the Confederates complete hell, man. It was like a revenge tip.
Jeez. Caffeine. Wow. Stop giving caffeine to Paul Walker today.
He just swam through cocaine water. And,
Why is this water white?
Swam through a mile of cocaine water. Keep up. Just fine on the other side. Thank you very much.
Yeah. Just fine.
Just fine. What? Yeah.
Here's the fat old man. What? I don't remember what this is.
And the whole flip-flop and board short thing is cute now, but what about when you're the fat old man sitting at the end of the bar? And nothing in your pocket but sand.
I love the idea of a guy with a pocket full of sand.
I don't know why. Sand in my pocket.
That's just weird.
This turned out bad. You know what would make this movie better if it had just a little bit bigger budget and they could have showed instead of tell about the Zephyr and the relationship between those characters and how they parallel to the current characters.
They could have started the movie with both a boat crash and a plane crash
in
the same place previously in this area had, you know, boom, old, you know, some Confederate era people in a boat that was filled with gold. There's no way you could have one tenth that much gold in a boat.
Right.
Yeah. It's probably what sank it. Maybe that's what's
right. That's why it sank.
Yeah. All that heavy gold. Oh, I knew we shouldn't have done it. Blah, blah, blah. And they were dead. We were too greedy. All right. Here's Scott Conn freaking out.
What if I shock you in your head?
Okay, dude.
And you didn't edit that. That is actually how it plays out in the movie.
Yeah. It's too many.
The car. Right. Yeah.
Why would you do like five of those? What are you doing?
He's practicing. He wants to figure out the right way of, I'm going to shock you in your face or shot you in your. I don't even know what he's saying.
Yeah, wait,
this
hold
lends
on.
Some credence to the theory that he is that person off camera, too.
Yeah, a little bit.
Because I doubt if he wasn't that person and somebody came along and was like, just have some fun in the front of the car here. And we're just going to roll camera and use a part. And then these guys are going to come up and tap on the window that he would choose to do this because he clearly chose to do this. Right.
Yeah. I don't think you're James Caan's kid and you'd grow up in a nice, quiet environment. I don't know why I think that. I think you just got, you're just one of those kids. You got tons of money. You're going to a prep school. You're like, I make, this is a story in my own head, but I think Scott Conn's one of those kids. Might not be. Yeah. Let's see if we can figure out what he's actually saying.
What if I shock you in your face right now? What if I shock you in your face?
Yes. Is it sock you or shock you?
Oh, maybe it is sock you. Anybody's Sean Connering it.
Netflix captioning seems to think it was shot.
Really?
Yeah, when I was watching, I was like, I can't understand what you're saying, and I clicked on the closed
caption. That's hilarious. I love it because I bet it's sock, and he just did such a bad idea or job.
That
shot you in the face. That isn't even a thing.
No. What if I shot you in the face? I mean, that makes sense. I guess
that's what they put in the
Oh, shot you with a gun.
What if I shot you in the face?
All right. Nobody wants to get shot in the face. Ask Steve Buscemi. He knows.
I can understand what he's doing because I like in my memory, I am a 13-year-old boy and my mom left me in the front seat of the car to go into the bank and she's in there freaking forever on a Saturday morning or something. Mm-hmm. And I'm looking in the mirror and I'm talking to myself. Like, so I can understand, but this is not the depiction of a 13-year-old boy. This is a grown man. Mm-hmm. And that's where I have a problem with it.
Yeah.
I just don't understand because there's a director, there's an actor, there's other people around. How did they decide we're going to go with that take?
Yep. Well, they're dumb. They're dumb. That's how it works.
Dumb.
Here's Sarek says some things.
Take some balls stealing my cocaine and trying to sell it back to me.
That does take balls.
Some bulls?
Some bulls. Bulls? Yeah. Like, take some bulls. Bulls. Yeah.
Like boy cows? Cows with.
No,
cows
I think he means to take some bulls like you put your cereal in bulls. I think that's what he's saying.
Right, to smoke a bowl.
All right, play it again. It's bull. Right. I think it's bulls with horns.
All right, let's try it again.
Take some bulls. Stealing my.
I don't know. Bulls. You got any bulls? I got cereal. You got bulls?
Yes, we know they're saying balls.
Yeah, Chad, quit
writing your email. Yeah,
stop your email
now.
They'll
be breathing air in Miami.
Yeah,
admittedly, Miami. Balls are what make them bulls. Like, without balls, yeah, they're not bulls. They're steers. Yeah. So maybe those were that is the same word where he's from.
Mm-hmm. It could be. Yeah, entirely could be. I don't know. It's a bull. We're gonna say everyone like Dunaway says. Drop your pens. Stop your emails. We know it's balls. Okay.
And where is he from? Vulcan.
Vulcan. Yeah. Before it got blown up in the new timeline.
Right.
Spoiler. Aww. Spoiler. All right. Here's what's this? Oh, that's all we have there. Okay. So now, boy, I'm all jacked up. Here it is. Okay. Time to play. That's the wrong app. Okay. Here's the real app, and now it's this. It's the Film Sack Checklist. Won't someone think of the cocaine-addicted sharks? Check. Amanda is the worst. Check. And finally, ain't nobody could hold his breath like Paul Walker. Check. Trek Connections. James Frame, we mentioned it already, played Rise, or however you say it in this, in Discovery. He plays Sarek. And he's great.
He's it.
Yeah, yeah, he's it, though. Nobody else, as best we can tell. But for a while there, I was thinking... James Brolin might have, or Josh may have been on there, but maybe I was thinking of James. Maybe James Brolin was in Star Trek. I don't know.
I get it. That'd be great to have James Brolin.
Oh, I just realized both had dads. They're both famous dads named James. Him and Scott Conn have James dads that are famous. Yeah.
Wow.
Anyway, that just hit me. soundtrack, great. I'll give it a D for decent. It's fine. It gets the job done. The sound work is pretty good, but whatever. Nobody goes to a movie for sound work, do they?
I do.
No. Okay.
I like the sound work. I do too.
I enjoyed the music. Like I was really digging all of the different tracks. Like it was reminding me of like 50 First Dates, where it's like, oh, I like these renditions of songs that I know.
Oh yeah, no, mean the licensed songs and stuff. Yeah, they were great.
And then it just kind of quit. It just kind of stopped caring about that.
Yeah. Well, it's once things got serious. Like, they found the drugs and then no more fun times. Oh, you all right?
Excuse me. Forgot to push my cough switch.
Your push to sneeze switch. So there's that. And now the Twitter post. This is where you guys sum it up in 280 characters or less. Let's start with Randy.
Into the blue. Let's face it. The only people in the world are sexy as hell and barely dressed at all times. Kissing each other. This is nothing at all like a Saturday night at Ibbot's house.
Damn it.
Oh, I'd be so offended, Ibbot. So offended.
Why?
I know.
Why,
I know.
Randy? Why?
He really means the opposite. It's opposite day. Brian Dunaway, give us yours.
Into the blue, like a 2-hour documentary on how to film crotches. Don't do drugs. Rehab shark doot.
Pretty close. You're getting there. Right. You're getting closer.
Keep practicing.
You go baby shark doot. Baby shark doot. I don't know how it goes. I hate that song. Finally, Brian Ibbot.
Into the Blue. Oh, this movie is so cheesy. Like Cheddar Cheese, the Edder Che Easy Che, the old Cheddarino, the Cheese Meister.
True, true.
I don't like when people call money cheese or cheddar. I don't like it.
No.
It's not one of those things.
When I call it cabbage, I enjoy calling it cabbage.
Oh, cabbage, yeah. Or bread.
Like, at least it's green. At least it makes
How do you feel? How do you feel about
you got it buried in the backyard for months?
How do you feel about bread as a euphemism for money?
I mean,
along the same lines as cheese.
Yeah,
bread and dough are okay.
Yeah, which one came first? I wonder.
Dough?
Because you know, one had to follow the other. Because somebody said, "Yeah, here's some bread," and then someone else said, "Oh, I'm going to call it dough."
Yeah.
Or is the other way around?
Well, for a while they called it grain, and then one time flour, and then earlier than that they called it.
And now they call it
wheat.
They
said whole wheat.
Yeah.
Can I get my money in gluten free?
Native Americans called it maize. It got real weird there for a while.
Right.
Yeah. That's a deep cut, boy. Oh boy, go back to the '80s, everybody, and watch that commercial. All right. Well done, everybody. That leaves us only with this. Oh, that's the wrong one. All right, there we go. It's the alternate title just handed to me. This was almost called Scott Conjob. Or Thrall's Squall. I couldn't think of any other Thrall.
That one's pretty good.
Yeah,
I like because it's a squall, which is a ocean term. I like it.
Yeah. Like remember that movie something squall. It was a
White Squall?
I think so.
I think you're right.
Yeah.
Oh, did we
into the White Squall.
Into
did we ever watch The Perfect Storm?
No, we need to. Yeah, we need
to. Yes, Jeff Bridges, White Squall, 1996.
That was wasn't that a Ridley Scott joint? Ridley Scott joint?
It is a Ridley Scott joint, yep.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm down for that.
Yeah.
Love me some Ridley Scott.
True story about a group of American teenage boys who crew a school sailing ship to gain experience, discipline, or whatever their parents feel they lack.
Yeah. And it's got the kid from Party of Five in it, I think. Not kid anymore. But
Wolf. Scott Wolf.
Scott Wolf, yep. Because his star was on the temporary rise.
Right.
Yeah. It was moving up, but was going to take a heart net anytime. Wasn't going to last forever.
A heart net.
Oh, that wasn't kind.
It wasn't nice at all. I like Josh Hartnett. I don't know what he's doing. I like him, though. He shouldn't stop making movies. We got a phone call today, folks. This number to call is 801-471-0462. This is in lieu of an email today. I'm going to play it. This is about our mummy episode, and here it is.
This is Colton. I'm calling in for FilmSack episode, the episode about the mummy. You guys were talking about how Chemotep, is consuming the body parts of the different guys there. One thing I've always thought all these years and never had anyone to chat with it about is the fact that he steals the guy's eyeballs that wears glasses, and they even show you very clearly how bad his sight is without his glasses. So, the entire time I'm just imagining the mummy, needing to have that guy's glasses the rest of the movie. Anyway, just a random thing. I'm actually surprised one of you guys didn't bring that up, but, just thought I'd add that and, thanks as always for all the content and have a good one.
All right. That's an awesome.
That's really funny.
Yeah.
Definitely thought about it. It's in my show notes, but I don't know if we mentioned it or not.
I don't think we did.
No.
Sometimes we notice those things for sure. Like I'll bet one of us did, probably you did in a way, but sometimes we just forget to bring it up on the show. So I'm glad you brought it out there. I hadn't thought of it.
I hadn't thought of it either. It's a really funny, dang it, I should have eaten that guy's eyeballs who could see better.
Yeah. It was like the dude yesterday on TMSPM who was asking how there were so many handy aerosol cans full of silver paint in Mad Max Fury Road. And I think I have an explanation in my head, but it's not fully fleshed out.
In my head canon, there is a aerosol silver paint manufacturing, operation.
Yeah, like Gas Town or something. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's possible, but also I think they're rare. I think they're, I said this yesterday, but I think they're intentionally rare because you rarely have to have the witness me moment. So when you have it, you need to have this thing handy. It's always in a car. No one has them strapped to themselves. It's the two or three times it happened, they were always in a car. So they pull it out of the car and have it. So I think that's just part of the war boy thing is you've got that with you and, Immortan Joe is going to send you to the gates of Valhalla. And so you spray yourself shiny and chrome. That's how that works. That movie's great and everyone should go watch it right now. All right.
I feel like I need to see it again. I hate admitting it, but I feel like I need to see it again.
I never hate to admit that. It's so good.
I, I just hate to bring it up.
Yeah. Now that I could see. I could totally feel you there. All right.
So we had asked about Hartnett earlier. He was doing Penny Dreadful, and he apparently he walks around wearing that terrible looking mustache he has. It looks like a 14-year-old boy is trying to grow a mustache.
Oh, he kept
Why
it, did he?
He's 40.
Oh, I didn't know right? that. Yeah, he's, let's see, recent stuff, Gut Instinct. He's got four things in the hopper, but I haven't heard of any of them. Let's see, Drunk History was on a couple episodes. you're right, Penny Dreadful. He just has had
which is coming back, too.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, it feels like it's been since like 30 Days of Night, maybe, which is like 07. And then after that, working every year, but no,
right.
Nothing I've heard of. So I just, I don't know. There's something about the guy. I like him.
Is Penny Dreadful still on Showtime? Because I think that's the only thing I was watching.
I canceled my trial.
It's not currently on Showtime, but they are bringing it back, and it's going to be a whole new series, new actors, but take place in a different place and time.
It's also a different network. That's coming to.
Oh, it's not going to be. That's right.
HBO's getting it. That's the only thing you had, Showtime. Yeah, HBO's getting
that
it.
That and Donovan, right? I guess they have that.
Oh, Ray Donovan?
Yeah.
Shameless is pretty good.
But yeah, Penny Dreadful canceled in 2016, ran from 2014 through 2016. He played Ethan Chandler and was good. I liked him on there. Mm-hmm. He played the American fish out of water in that air story. Anyway, go see 30 Days of Night. That's actually better than people think. We should sack it. That's a sackable movie.
Did we not sack that?
No.
That's with the Russian vampires, right? How we not sack that? That's a great movie.
It's awesome.
It hasn't come up on the streaming.
It's not a great movie. I shouldn't say it's great, but it's great for what we do. And it's also a cool comic book that I read, and it's worth watching. So
I wonder if 40 Days and Nights, wasn't that like where...
That's how long Jesus did it.
The sex absence.
That's how long Jesus didn't eat food.
Oh, what was that? That was... what was that? That was
40 Days and Nights. Josh Hartnett.
40 Days and Nights. It was Josh Hartnett. Yeah, right. Where he's abstaining.
Oh, 2002.
Right. He's trying to be the master of his domain.
Oh my gosh! Have you guys seen Have you seen the cover to this? The poster. That's hilarious. What they tried to get away with here. Hold on. I'm gonna put it in. I'm gonna put it in Discord. This is really funny. All right. Wait. Hosts. Yeah. Okay. Watch this. Look at this business. Like where the text on the title is. I mean, they made a big wiener. It's a big wiener.
We gotta post that. Yeah.
And is he looking up the skirts of those three women there?
Yes.
Okay.
And that's the rub.
And are they just standing there looking at his giant wiener where the
right?
They've even color coded it to seem. Oh, I don't like it. It's not good.
Yeah.
I don't like it.
Really? I'm not sure about the color. The color coding might be
a little questionable. That's a little off for me. I mean, maybe the blue at the bottom is kind of accurate.
I don't know what yours looks like, Scott, but...
Right.
Just a big purple wiener. No, it's not purple. Anyway, hey, that's fun. That there deal. We're never going to see that movie. But we are going to watch next week The Fifth Element, finally. Finally.
So for 9.5 years, folks, you've been asking us to watch The Fifth Element.
Folks.
You typically send us a Chris Tucker quote and tell us to watch The Fifth Element, and we just haven't gotten there until now. We have this Discord now, by the way. You want to come tell us what to watch? You first go to twitter.com/filmsack. Uh-huh. Scroll down a little bit. There's a link to the Discord.
Oh. Yeah, and it'll be expired, so then you'll have to ask for it again. We'll
Okay, we're gonna start posting the link to the Discord every day. Anyway, you go to the Discord, you tell us what to watch. People have told us to watch Fifth Element so many times. We're doing it next week on FilmSack.
Yeah. I just found a very funny parody article. I just want to read the... Can I read this to you guys? This will bring us back to the top of the show, and then we'll get out of here. The headline... This is an Onion article, of course. The headline is Game of Thrones showrunners disappointed with how quality of fans has dropped off over the past couple of seasons.
That's funny.
They basically tell the entire story is told just flipped from that perspective, and it is awesome. Go find it, everybody, and read it. All right, that's going to do it for the show. Again, Fifth Element next week, filmsack.com. In the meantime, if you're looking for old shows and other stuff, it's all there, filmsack.com. FilmSack.com. We have a Discord now that we're using on the frequent. People in there talking about movies and spoilers and all kinds of stuff. So if you're into such things, go to FilmSack.com and click on the Discord link. It's right there on the page, and it will give you an invite, and you're in. Be a part of that community today. You can email us, FilmSack@gmail.com. You can send us voicemails at 801-471-0462. And as always, you can find us on Twitter at FilmSack. That's going to do it for us. For me, for Brian, and for Randy.
I'm going to shock you in your face.
We'll see you next time. This show is part of the Frog Pants Network.
Frog Pants Network.
Get more shows like this at frogpants.com.
Okay.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.